This is Modern Woman. Find us at modernwoman.co for further info.
Welcome to our Modern Woman podcast. Today I'm with a lady who is incredibly passionate about encouraging more women into the world of fintech and for them to carve their careers out of this digital revolution we are all experiencing on a global level and perhaps at a speed not many of us could have anticipated. Tram Ann Yuen started her career on the New York trading floor of Standard Chartered Bank before joining UBS Wealth Management, overseeing investments for clients in Asia. It was after a life-changing experience that she realised she wanted to leave the traditional world of finance after 15 years and start supporting individuals by equipping them with the education they need to embrace emerging tech. This is how the Centre of Finance, Tech and Entrepreneurship was born, a company that Tram Ann co-founded and still runs today. She's also a busy mum of three daughters, has a diploma in Feng Shui and is here with us today to share her inspiring journey and what tomorrow's world brings. It's wonderful to be here with you, Tram Ann.
It's a pleasure to be here with you and in our office.
Thank you for inviting me. It's actually our first podcast since lockdown that we've done in person. So you're the founder of the EdTech platform, Centre of Finance, Tech and Entrepreneurship, which people may well also know as CFTE. But your career started in finance. Tell us where your working life began.
Thanks a lot. Last time I met with you was 2 years ago. And so I'm very pleased to finally get the chance, to meet you personally, after 2 years, and we are happy to be back at work. So thanks again for inviting me. Yes, indeed. I did not start my career in education or in technology, not at all. I started my career in traditional finance, and I started on a trading floor, in New York, in Wall Street. And I started as a trader, so I was probably the only woman trading my market in Wall Street. At that time, I was running my book of emerging market currencies, so I was in charge of highly regulated currencies, and I was market making, so that's how I started my career in traditional finance, capital markets. It was in New York, then I made a move, and it was in London. So after a couple of years in New York, I made a shift and I chose London. And I said it was supposed to be a year, and I've been in London for 20 years. So I love being in London. And I started in a Dresdner. So I made a shift by being a trader, and I went to help to set up the emerging market desk for Dresdner. And specialize in emerging markets. So very much always bridging, the world of Europe with emerging markets. I made a shift again, so I understand, at that time quite well the world of capital markets for those interested in finance. But I made a move in wealth management. I worked for UBS Private Banking, where I was in charge of ultra-high net worth Asian clients out of London. And I quit banking. It was in 2014, realizing that I wanted to start my own business, being an entrepreneur. And by leaving the world of finance, I realized that there was a new world that was shaping, which was fintech, and I had no clue about. I got the chance to learn about it. Went to Oxford with Hui Nguyen-Chiu, who was the one who set up the first master classes and workshop in fintech. It was the first one in the world where you can really bring knowledge of fintech. So I went, I took my backpack, and I went. I was blown away with what I was learning about, all about blockchain, APIs, cloud computing. All of this for me was purely technology, nothing to do with finance. And I was totally wrong. But the trigger was when I was attending the Singapore FinTech Festival. I was invited to attend there. There were 12,000 people attending that FinTech Festival. It was in 2016. And I was blown away with what I was listening, because I was really realizing that the world of finance was transforming with finance and technology. But I was thinking for all my colleagues sitting in the bank, not knowing what was happening. And for me, I felt that there was a huge need. So that's why we set it up, CFT, with that mission to really upskill finance professionals, tech people, entrepreneurs in a rapidly changing industry transformed by emerging technologies. So that's why we set it up, CFT, today.
What an interesting story. And out of interest, did you enjoy trading or do you much prefer being an entrepreneur?
That's a good question. I think I love entrepreneurship. I think being your own boss, let's say, you can really create an impact. Having worked for a large organization and now setting up my own, I think there's no doubt that I love entrepreneurship. There's something that, for me, I see a huge gap. I see a huge gap in the market. I want to help and fill that gap to help people to upskill and to give them knowledge about what I see is needed, which is finance, technology, and entrepreneurship.
So you actually lived in France when you were younger, but you're from Vietnamese descent. So tell us, what was growing up like?
I'm French, with Vietnamese of origin, and you could probably can listen to my accent. My parents came to France in 1975 as immigrants. They had lost their livelihood in Vietnam, and I came to life in France, and I grew up with this sense of rebuilding and overcoming obstacles. My dad was very fortunate to have all made with my family to this journey as both people. We've learned that we've learned how lucky we are by being on that boat, and then they got the chance to be welcome in France. At that time, I was not born yet. I was born a year later. So my life has always been brought with all this in mind, where this is a great opportunity when you come to a country to rebuild your life and start from scratch. This is something I know. I was educated with in France, but I must say very lucky, very, I think, fortunate to also have been educated with my Vietnamese values and culture, something that is part of me today. So whenever I travel, I know this will be part of my background. So today, I consider myself as a global citizen and proud to also, of course, be British and born in France.
Amazing. So share with us what services do CFT offer?
Yes, so basically, I co-founded CFT with Huy, Huy Minh Chieu, which is a new type of university. So it's a new type of university that uses online learning to teach professionals about technology in finance and fintech. And CFT is very much built on the idea of change, because we believe that emerging technologies and innovation are really giving birth to a new area of finance, and one that can have a very positive impact in the life of billions. And so what we want is that we've realized that when you are traditional finance professionals and you are on your day-to-day job, you don't see how things are changing very fast. And we have people coming to us and saying, how do I start my journey when things are changing so, so fast and we don't know how to start? How to start when technology is impacting my job and I see the evolution changing so, so fast? But how do I start my journey? How do I start my journey upskilling? Or how do I start my journey shifting jobs? Or how do I continue learning? Because I know that if I don't maintain constant learning, I will not be able to grow. And so those are, and we didn't see that in any academics at that time. Nowhere in the world, back in 2016, you could learn about blockchain, artificial intelligence in finance, what is happening in payments. You couldn't find any places where you see not only the world, what's happening in the UK, but what is happening in the US, Europe, Asia. And what we didn't see is that the world of academics is two academics. You don't learn from the industry. You don't have use case example. It means that what you learn at university, how does it really apply to your job? If you were, let's say, a trader, how do you actually trade today with the new tools of technology using data? How do you actually apply? And this is very difficult when you don't want people to stop their job. You must constantly find a place where people can learn, but also people can share their knowledge. And I really believe in peer-to-peer learning. It means that You get a chance to learn, but you also get a chance to interact with the people. So what we set up at CFT is a platform where people can learn very quickly about fintech, about artificial intelligence in finance, about open banking, about payments, not only about hard knowledge, but also a place where you can develop new skills being soft skills. How do you work with, developing new skills, communication skills, pitching skills, but not only, which is for me very important, is this entrepreneurship mindset. How do you learn how to think like an entrepreneur? And that is something that we wanted to do. So we believe in e-learning, so that's why we're creating this platform. But we believe that there are three components to make you successful today, which is developing you a platform where you can learn on demand, learn a lot and a lot about what's happening in finance and technology in fintech very, very quickly so that you can get the right knowledge. But how do you develop other skills, not only hard skills, but other skills, the skills so that you can adapt very quickly to your job. And the third thing is how do you equip yourself with the right way of thinking, the new ways of thinking, which is thinking like an entrepreneur and understanding the new business models. And that, with the three components, that we feel will make you successful or thrive and be part of the new world of finance.
I'm right in thinking that you've been established for 4 years, and over that time, you've seen approximately 100,000 students. How did you create that, and how did you basically promote CFTE and get it out there so people could realise that it was a credible edtech platform to learn from?
That's a very, very good question. I think the way that you scale is very much understanding the industry very well. What people need to learn. And when we started CFT, there were nowhere you can learn fintech in 8 hours. There were nowhere you can learn fintech with excellent industry experts from all around the world that can really help you to learn fast and equip yourself with the right knowledge. And we were very pleased to partner with governments in the UK, but also we started a lot in Asia because they saw the need of upskilling very fast. And so we worked with some government like in Singapore, in Hong Kong, in Abu Dhabi, in Vietnam, Malaysia, UK, of course, Europe. But very quickly, governments asking us, how do you upskill people at scale? Because they saw that if we don't encourage lifelong learning, we don't upskill organization, we don't upskill people, the organization won't be able to transform. So the banks, such as, you know, we are working with some of the largest banks in Asia, the DBS, OCBC, UOB, those are all the banks that needed so that it was important to upskill in artificial intelligence in finance. We developed a program, and that program helped the whole organization to upskill. And they saw that coming. So it's a responsibility from the organization who saw that huge need of transforming the people so that they can they can innovate and transform. But we saw that also from the government, and certain governments are seeing their people, and especially, I must say, now even more with COVID-19, they're seeing that if they don't take charge of upskilling their citizens, I think the country will really, really be in big trouble with rising of unemployment. So today, this is how, you know, we've trained, you know, the people and accelerate their growth and learning about all this technology.
So you mentioned earlier about overcoming challenges, and you spoke a lot about the essence of CFTE is about change. And obviously, over the past sort of 18 months, a year to 18 months, we've all had to really go through a lot of change and had quite a turbulent time in terms of our personal and career lives. Since the pandemic, we have actually seen a surge in fintech and digital transformation. I think it's one of the industries that have actually managed to survive and grow during this period. How has this affected CFTE, and what challenges have you had to overcome during this period?
I think CFTE, like most companies, went from face-to-face working to purely digital communication. Suddenly, everyone needed to collaborate and brainstorm through Zoom calls and messages on apps like Slack. And to help our company pull through and thrive, we needed to be digitally savvy, which wasn't as hard for us since being able to leverage digital capabilities to be resilient is something that is embedded into our values and our mission as a company as well. We also saw that every other industry that hadn't really experienced much digital transformation before needed to immediately become digital, from financial services to education. And so this industry transformation were key to what we have been offering, online education to the new technology-driven world of finance. There was, and we saw that, a huge spike in financial institutions and individuals, and I said it earlier, looking to upskill their technical skills, digital skills, from home through online learning. So we've seen this.
And what talent would you say the industry and finance, tech, fintech are looking for, and how can we encourage more women into these roles?
Yes, I think the, in general, my view is that the fintech industry is no longer in danger of slowing down. It's just accelerating. In fact, the global fintech market is predicted a huge growth at a rate of almost 25% annually over the next couple of years, according to Fintech Futures, which is exciting news for all of us. It was a report shared on Fintech Futures 2020. Over the last 12 months, and it's based on all the surveys that we see, you know, in the market. We conducted also a survey ourselves at CFT that we conducted during last year, where there's going to be a huge need of talent. There's going to be 8 times more jobs posted in fintech than they did in 2019, which is huge. That's a jump of 800%. Which is astounding. It's huge, especially when you consider the fact that 2020 saw the outbreak of a worldwide pandemic. That's something that it was clear for us that the fintech industry is looking for talent, and is looking for talent from very, very different background. When we saw the industry changing, we thought that people in fintech would people who would come from finance industry. That was actually my assumption when we started CFT, and I was totally wrong. When now we are seeing the people entering the world of fintech or finance and technology, when you look at the picture of the people, it's really, really transforming. And this is what we are trying to do. This is what I'm spending a lot of my time is to see how we can transform the face of finance and making it much more diverse, much more inclusive, and welcoming people from diverse backgrounds who never had this opportunity to learn about fintech. And today, when you look at, just looking at my own experience at CFT, we have people that are coming from not only finance background, but tech background, entrepreneurs, lawyers. We are also seeing teachers coming, you know, people from very, very different backgrounds, people in marketing, and people from graduate that are coming freshly from university, coming to learn about fintech, to chairman of a bank. So across, you know, very diverse, not only into background, but into age as well. But what is astonishing, and I think I must be proud of, is out of the you know, 100,000 of people that we have upskilled today, 40% of the people are women. And Rosie, I must say, you know, when I started my career in finance, the finance industry was non-diverse. It was very difficult to find, you know, some friends, women friends in my industry. I mean, on the trading floor, I was probably the first woman trading my market, and it was very difficult to find. When you go at the top, even harder. And today, what we have seen, you know, the past year, I say year because it's really year, is that the face of finance is changing in a very good way. I'm very positive, very optimistic. I keep sharing, you know, this example, and it's because it's rare to share, so I will share it today. But, you know, for me, you know, seeing Anne Boden, you know, the first woman CEO creating her own bank from scratch is astonishing. I'm proud to see, you know, she's doing so well, and we've never seen that before. Alison Rose, you know, the first UK CEO running NatWest. It didn't happen before, and now today, you know, 2 years, it's happening. And, of course, you know, Jane Fraser, you know, first CEO for Citibank, never happened before. And it's today that we're seeing some incredible women leading, you know, the world of finance. And I think this is what we want to say at CFT. We really want to encourage women to find opportunity that is coming in finance technology. And what I would love is to encourage women to be more entrepreneur.
Absolutely. And I totally relate to the women you mentioned there. I had the opportunity to interview Anne Boden, and she is absolutely incredible, the head of and CEO of Starling Bank. And without a doubt, it's women like that that inspire others in the industry, but also inspire others outside the industry, you know. And of the 40% of women that you have, of the 100,000 you have upskilled, how would you say you encourage those, and what are you doing to encourage more women into this industry?
Well, thanks, Rosie. I think is having first excellent women leaders to teach. I think we're spending a lot of time at CFT, it's embedded in our values and culture, making sure that we have excellent experts that can teach, not because they're women, because they're excellent, but sometimes they shy away, so we are always looking for, you know, excellent experts to teach on fintech, on AI, on open banking, on payments. And we have, you know, we are trying very much to make sure that they have a place, they have a voice, they can share, you know, the expertise, and people, you know, can really look at role models. This is how, you know, we can encourage more women to learn, is having role models to teach. But also, you know, encouraging special programs for women also to learn and to be an entrepreneur. And also to connect a place where women can be safe, they feel safe or they feel good to connect, and the peer-to-peer learning to exchange, to grow together. So we have, during the COVID-19, launched CFT Campus, where we have created a series of master classes for women leaders to teach. And it was amazing. We have every week a woman expert to teach about coaching, you know, they coach people to teach about entrepreneurship, people to teach about payments, people to teach about open banking, about fintech. So pretty much, you know, areas, you know, range of courses that we made available for women to come, but also men, but women to learn, but not only to learn, but to also spend time with the expert. And it went very well. It was very, you know, appreciated by the community that we have. And they could also network among themselves. Not only people from a lot of different backgrounds and different countries joined that program that we had.
Amazing. So let's talk about startups. At the beginning of the pandemic, a lot of startups I know really struggled financially. They either, their backers, they lost money, or they run out of money from trading. How are startups getting finance? Is that eased up a lot more now? Is there a lot more promising sort of financial backing on the horizon in terms of what you can see?
I think, you know, during this this time, I think it's huge. Because you can't even see, you know, how the huge spur in fintech investment. Over the 100 fintech investment deals were struck in the first 3 months of the year, you know, making a solid start of 2021. And in contrast to, you know, it was not so. If you compare 2020 with 2021, it's no comparison. We've seen a huge increase into investment into fintech. It's not stopping. It's just increasing even more. Those figures are up to 331% versus to Q1 2020. when COVID-19 fears went and the UK-wide lockdown put new funding rise, you know, on the ice, we keep seeing the numbers. And you see, you know, like, for example, Checkout, you've seen $450 million. Starling Bank, you know, who just raised a lot of money, $376 million. Rapid, $300 million. Were among those fintech raising mega rounds to kick off, you know, the new year. And I think in general, in terms of fintech update, it's just, it will not stop. It will not stop. You've seen Spark having raised, you know, $20 billion more today in fintech, meaning potentially $60 to $80 billion invested in fintech in the next couple of years. And there's incredible amounts. Those amounts are just crazy. And it's not, I keep saying it, but it's not stopping. We're seeing huge emerging of new digital banks as well, central bank digital currencies, or investment into infrastructures of payment. In terms of infrastructure, I mentioned a few examples, but in my mind, you know, when you look at some of the market capitalization in some of the largest, you know, fintech or payment companies like Stripe, if you look at the valuation, I think it's close to $300 billion. Square, the same. I think it's just this pandemic, and I think it's the time also is just showing that it will just grow.
Absolutely, some astonishing figures there. And what are investors looking to back and invest into fintech-wise, would you say? What technology are they looking for in particular?
I would say fintech in general, but I think if there was one area that I personally would spend time on would be payments. There's huge change that is happening in the payment space. Payments is really having a huge impact in finance. You can see the new business model. If you look and at CFT, where we keep sharing this example, but I take it from Hui, who is my co-founder, but he spent a lot of time looking at the valuation and the market capitalization of some of the largest fintech industries. But if you look at the new business models in payments, in finance, the top five financial services provider today, they are not banks, they are payments companies.
How interesting. I want to change subjects slightly and go back to you. When we've spoken previously, you've mentioned about life-changing experiences which have inspired you to do the work that you do today. Can you share some of those with us and how they influence you as a person and your career?
When we set up CFT, was very much with the idea of change, and especially because today, you know, the job has been changed. You know, people are listening to robots, you know, and AI being replaced your job, and people are afraid of change. But we are in this world of fast change, and we want to help people. We want to help people so that they can have a place, a center, for them to transform themselves. And when you have, you know, different crises happening in your life, it just trigger you even more this sense of urgency to change, but also, for me, this urgency to help. I myself went through different crises in my life. Of course, you know, I mentioned about my life as a child when my parents had to rebuild their own life. I witnessed this, I live, you know, my childhood was always, you know, with that sense of rebuilding and build, I think, this sense of resilience. When they left everything, they had a very, very good life in Vietnam, and they lost everything. And they built, and they did very well. I'm very proud of what my parents did in France and managed to do very well. And that's how, you know, I've always had that in my mind. I think the second crisis I went through, and that was probably something that triggered me to continue what I do and love what I do, is my life changed a lot during 9/11. By then, I had been working in New York for 2 years, and I was working at the World Trade Center. And our apartment was actually in front of the Twin Towers, and we could see them from our windows. And on that day, it all started as a normal day. I was on the trading floor. I was actually in one of the towers. 2 hours later, you know, when the first plane hit the Twin Tower and the building, and with all my colleagues. And I was very, you know, I say that it was a moment where, for me, it was the hardest. And I keep mentioning it, you know, throughout my life, because I feel very lucky to be here today. And that's really encouraged me to help others. I think it was, for me, a moment where I said, if I'm here today, is because I had my second chance. My second chance, and that's why I do what I do. I think it was the months after, you know, if it wasn't just for me, it was, you know, when I was at during that period of 9/11, I couldn't go back to my apartment. My husband was in Paris. I was homeless. I was lost. I didn't know what to do. But it wasn't for me. It was the same for all my colleagues and millions of the people, new workers. And on the following days, in the following months, we have to rebuild ourselves, and we were glad to be alive. And I think the hardest in this year were when, I must say that's what I think I'm so passionate about what I do today. It's about this possibility to rebuild yourself and to reinvent yourself and to find good opportunities. And that is great. I think it's today with, I must say, with this COVID-19 happening and hitting a lot of our life, and we know a lot of people having been impacted, either themselves or through their families, or know someone who's been impacted. But it's about reflecting on this 3 period in history and in my life. I can't help but identify a few parallels to the challenges we are currently experiencing during this global pandemic, where many people are vulnerable and hopeless. And in this time of volatility and unrest, we need to be there for each other. And more than ever, we need to find ways where we can help and support and be collaborative and open to new things. And so this is what I encourage at CFT.
Thank you for sharing that with us, Sharon. And I think a few things that you mentioned there are quite traumatic events that you've experienced. And do you think that, one, that sort of built resilience with what you do and as an individual going through change? Because I would say that's a key component about us all managing and embracing change. And do you think that because of after experiencing the 9/11 incident, that you knew how to manoeuvre and get through COVID-19? Or do you think there was nothing that could prepare us for the pandemic?
That's a good question. I think what I want to say, you know, having been through different crises, and a lot of people went through crises, but my personal journey is that, and this is what I say to everyone, to my team members, even to my, you know, daughters, is that don't be stressed to change. Don't be stressed to change. Adapt to change. This is what we tell all our team, is that don't be afraid of change. Change is sometimes good, because it makes you to grow. It makes you to grow, and it makes progress. So I think this is the message I would love, you know, to give today.
Absolutely. And on that note, what would you say drives you?
What drives me? I think it's to see all the opportunities that I see around the world. In fintech, it's just amazing what you can do in finance, in technology, and entrepreneurship, and how we can help billions of people access to finance, and how when I see people being entrepreneur and building things and make you know, an impact, and see the positivity of you know, around the world that one can do, we are in a very interesting moment. You know, when I started my career, there was nothing. I went to work in a bank, and I had nothing to create, nothing to be, you know. And today, being where we are, where the world is accelerating, technology is giving you power to transform. And I think that's right. I'm very optimistic. I see all the opportunities, and I would love, you know, people to see to be together and to share, to talk, and to learn from each other, and to build, to make a positive impact.
Amazing. So a couple more questions. You're also a mum of three, three daughters. So how do you juggle being a parent and business life?
I think it's the hardest. I think it's not easy. I think that, you know, when you are an entrepreneur, you are in this constantly, let's say, is not stable. You know that entrepreneurship is not stable. If you are, you know, you are looking for stability, don't be an entrepreneur. If you are, you want to do and well, you need to be able to test, learn, fail, and constantly grow. And so it's constantly questioning yourself because you want to scale. You want to, you know, always, you know, make sure that you are growing well and you are growing in the right way. So entrepreneurship, it's not easy. So even though CFT is doing very well, I'm very pleased with what we have accomplished as a team. But, you know, it's always like today, you know, we are building, like every month we are building a new product. So it means that we constantly, you know, in a new courses, a new thing. So it's constantly in a sense of rebuilding. We're building constantly. So it's unstable. And so what I think it's good to have is also that as a family, you need stability. But my daughters are also changing. They are growing constantly. So it's about, as a mom, you want to make sure that there's stability. And so at home, this is, for me, where I spend also, and I trend to, I want to spend a lot of time making sure that I can give them a stability, a home where they can feel reassured for them to grow. And same for the office. But I must say, being a mom entrepreneur, being, you know, an educator, being someone that want to do well, for me, it's not an easy. If someone gave me a recipe, I would love to take it. But I think I'm very lucky, you know, for what we do today. I have a very supportive husband, a partner also in business. I have a very supportive family. I have three young daughters who understand what we are trying to do. And they are very close to our business in terms of they understand, you know, the step-by-step and the journey. So they understand why we're doing all what we are doing. They understand it very well. And we have an amazing team who know that sometimes, you know, I cannot be everywhere. So they are here to support and they do amazingly well. So that's how, you know, I can do what I do. But it's not an easy job.
And what does success look like to you?
That's not an easy question. I think success could mean, for me, a sense of giving back to the world and making a difference. It could mean a sense of accomplishment and career progression. And it could mean being able to do the things you love and being surrounded with amazing and incredible people.
And one last question. In your opinion, what is a model woman?
That's a question for you as well. But for me, what is a modern woman? Being a woman today is damn hard and confusing. We are constantly bombarded with contradictory messages of what a woman is supposed to be. We aspire to the impossible, then feel bad when we fall short. And our mothers, you know, always want a generation that now feels dated, you know, that wants to make sure that we're a good wife, we're a good mother, and we follow certain rules and tradition. But I think today, you know, we are not supposed to be superwoman. We would love to be considered an equal. I think society rewards us for the appearance of youth, our attractiveness, somehow the source of our power. We are judged whether we want children or marriage or not. We have a small window of time which to make a career or family, and then are asked to balance it all. And I think it's madness. It's not easy. But being a modern woman is, I think, my view today is to do what you love to do and to thrive. I think, you know, my message would be, please come to us at CFT and be part of an exciting world of rebuilding. If you want to change, you want to do something exciting, you want to learn something new, come to us at CFT Women. You know, this world is a world of huge opportunities today. And I know that COVID-19 has not been an easy period for most women, mom, because I know, You know, you have to juggle a lot, and the lockdown has not been easy for most of women. But I must say that this is a reset. This is, you know, it gives you, you know, a sense of saying, I reset myself and I want to start from scratch, and this is your moment. So I see things very positively, and so join us, and I'll be very happy to have a chat with you. Thanks a lot for having me.
It's always a pleasure to interview you, Tranan, and I always enjoy hearing your stories, and every time I talk, I find out another anecdote and more inspiration, so thank you. Is there anything else you want to add before we finish?
No, it's a pleasure, Rosie. You know, I've known you for now 2 years, and I'm also, you know, very, very, you know, impressed by your tribe and your willingness also to support women. And I think we both have something we have in common, which we love to, you know, give back and create a place where women can be heard. And thanks a lot for having me. But also join us. I think if you are looking for opportunities, you know, I know that you are doing a lot and we do a lot. I'm sure there will be lots of opportunities for us to support more women.
Absolutely. I'd love to. Thank you so much. And that was Tranan Yuen from CFTE.
This is Modern Woman. Find us at modernwoman.co for further info.